Would y'all tell them how much you love these two guys too? Thank you, Lord. Well, it's an honor. It's an honor to be here. I was gone a couple of Sundays, and now I'm back. Amen. Glad to be back. I love to honor people that come here for the very first time. And so, if you've never been here before, I know this awesome team outside hopefully caught you, welcomed you, gave you a visitor packet. If they didn't, we'll have some ready. But if you've never been to Cowboy Church before, we always call, what an honor. Thank you so much for stopping in here. Of course, you had to pass a lot of churches, we always say that, to get to this one. We're about 4.5 miles outside of town, where the devil don't even know how to get out here. So, he's blocked. Yeah. He got censored by Facebook and Twitter. Anyway, but it's an honor to have you. So if you don't mind, if you've never been here at Cowboy Church before, would you mind just right where you're at, raise your hand and let us welcome you in Jesus' name. Would you do that? Thanks for coming. Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming. Honored to have you. Thanks for all the new folks and the ones even walking in. Honored to have you. Thank you, Jesus. Well, now I want you to do this with some enthusiasm. You ready? When I say this, I want you to clap. And it'll be for a reason. It's time to minister on tithes and offerings. Okay? Come on. Now, as I was praying in my office a little bit ago, I was asking the Lord, about this service. And He began to share some different things with me. And one of them is about tithes and offerings. And for all the new people and the ones that I heard last week, we had 15. And with me and Howdy and I was talking about it in the office. It's amazing. In 17 years of this church being birthed by the Lord, there has not been one single service that we didn't have a multitude of visitors in all these years. And even with the cowboy movement that was started in by my spiritual dad, Glenn Smith. I was reading his book this morning. I found it. I found two copies. I'm going to take one home. Keep that thing. Normally I give them away. And all this time, 1973 is when God really birthed the cowboy world and the movement as far as ministering to the Western world. And I read just the very first part of his book, because it was in the later part of March 1973 that God awoke him from his sleep in a dream. And during the dream, before he woke up, God was showing him rodeo primary cowboys and that was hanging up from a bull. You know, they had that suicide. I don't know if you ever watched a bull riding. When they get that hand in there, and a lot of times the camera will show it, they get it really, really tight. The Brazilians, they have the rope on backwards compared to the people in the United States. And they do that, and I mean, you have to have several people getting that thing tight. And they do that so that if something happens, you can get free pretty easy. But in America, none of the bull riders were taught that. They were taught with it on the other side, and when it locked down, and then they would bring it around their wrist, and they called that the suicide wrap. And then they would tuck it in, bring out the tail, and that's what kept that hand in. Because, you know, a bull is very strong. And he had just begun to be ministered in this dream about cowboys getting hung up and that bull just taking them everywhere. And if you've never seen someone hang up in the bull riding at a rodeo, very scary. And a lot of times those cowboys get get hurt. The clowns, the bullfighters trying to get that rope out so their hand can come free. And he saw saddle bronc riders getting their feet hung up in the stirrups and just dragged around. And what it represented was there was just the Western people that were dying and going to hell. I mean, the enemy, because no one was really ministering to them, because the rodeo was on the weekend, right? Sports now, baseball and a lot of things, soccer primarily, are on the weekend, and they don't get to be churched. And so we started taking church to them. My family started in 1983, 84 in that area, ministering to primarily rodeo cowboys and so on. And so what's caused a lot of people's interest into the Western world and the cowboy churches and different things like we're doing here today, this church 17 years ago, is because the Western world is still one of the last groups, cultures of people that's still masculine. In other words, women are to be shouting that there's still men out there. Now, here's why I say that. It's because our world has transgressed over into different ways, and women have to become men. And now we're seeing from the new president just where, you know, there's no gender identity. I'm here to tell you right now, there is a man and there is a woman. Okay? All right. Let me talk about offering. I better stay focused. With that said, a lot of people still come and they want to check out what the heck is a cowboy church. Well, as you could tell, it's we like a fiddle in the band. And it's amazing how different worship styles there are out there. Some of the kids love rock and roll and contemporary. I was raised more in choirs and then contemporary music when we was going to non-denominational churches. But in our old Baptist church, you had the choirs and hymnal books and so on. So if you're here, thank you. Thank you, thank you. But we also talk about finances, because that's the most counseling sessions that I do. More than sickness and disease, more than people with cancer and so on, I'm dealing with financial issues that actually then cause people to have health problems because they're worrying about whatever there is to worry about. The kid getting braces that they can't afford to get, you know. And so the Lord took me to, and if y'all want to turn there, do. If not, you need to remember it in Hebrew or in Luke's Gospel. And he showed me this in verse 12, Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Now, what again are we talking about? We're talking about the way we give to the Lord, how we give tithes, how we give offerings, how we give first fruits, how we give alms. Alms is given to the poor, given to people that are in need. And but I was reading this in chapter 12, and you go all the way over when Jesus is talking in about verse 33, and here's what it says. In 32, Jesus is saying, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, look at me, y'all. You have to understand what the kingdom is, because the kingdom of God is a method on how we're supposed to operate here on earth like heaven. Okay, you've got to get this into your head. It's not always talking about the place called heaven. The kingdom of God is a method, and it's how Christians operate. His ways of doing things. God wants you to operate in the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. He wants you to operate in His financial kingdom through sowing and reaping, etc. So He's trying to say, look, calm down, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags with wax, not old, and treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approaches, neither moths corrupt it. Listen to this, though. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Here's what Jesus was actually trying to get across to the people of God, and that's you and I, if Jesus is the Lord of your life. He's trying to get you not to allow money to control you. He says, because what is ever in your heart, Matthew says it this way, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. I always use the example of a horseshoer putting a shoe on, and he's nailing that nail into to keep that shoe on. And if he misses and hits that finger, you're going to know what's in his heart. Because it's going to come out. It's the same with our giving. Don't allow money to rule you. You are supposed to rule it. And God wants you to have an abundance of it to get out of debt. Remember when the word says, owe no man but to love him. Because that's how God wants you to be. He wants you to get out of debt and make an inheritance for your kids and their kids. Amen? So when you give with that attitude, not with, you know, the church is just trying to get my money. No, actually God's trying to get your obedience. Because if he's got your obedience, he can pour it into your life. Amen? So in this bucket and in that bucket, and by the way, visitors, if you filled out that visitor card, send it down or bring it in here and just give it while we give to the Lord in Jesus' name. Come on and give with a big old shout of praise. Amen. Praise the Lord.
All I need is to thank you, Jesus. Believe in your name. I don't seek treasures that so will be gone.
By the way, thank you so much for giving. We about have the whole kids church completed. So with all, we only lack one more thing, getting that septic hooked up. Bathrooms are there.
It's more than just a song.
Amen.
It's my life.
Amen. Let's pray over what people gave and just be in agreement. Father, thank you, Lord. Whatever the people gave as a tithe or an offering or however they gave. Father, the Word of God says in Luke's Gospel that when we give, it will be given unto us. We can give time, but it's time that's given back to us. So when we give finances, then that, Father, you said that it will be given back to us with a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over in our lives. So, Father, what we learned this morning about what's in the treasure of our heart, I thank you, Father, that the last part of Luke's Gospel, 6 and 33, talking about giving, says with whatever measure that we meet, or the way that we give it is how you give it back to us. And Father, we give it to you generously. We give it to you in an abundant way so that, Father, we can reap what we sow. Father, thank you, Lord, for that. I just say not ever, ever, ever will money control us where we begin to love it, because we realize that the love of money is the root of all evil. So, sir, we're not going to love it. We're going to use it for the purpose of spreading the gospel, for getting out of debt, for enjoying life. And Father, thank you for that. And thank you for the people that gave in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, and by the way, so many people give online. I want to thank you for that. That's the only thing I literally see with my physical eye. Because that comes straight to the way we see it all. And it's amazing to see the people that give and how you give, and what an honor. Amen. All right. The youth, because AJ and Joni had to go out of town, and then our other youth leaders and junior high leaders are having to tend to some things. We're going to leave the youth in here, but the kids' church, 11 and under, you're going to have a blast. So, with a big round of applause and the aisles clear, I want you to be dismissed with a big round of applause out the back end. Amen? See you, kiddos. You'll have a blast. And moms and dads, if you're new and you want to send your kid, I can promise you they'll take care of them. They teach them the Word of God. They let them have a lot of fun too. Amen. So, and if you want to take them, there'll be people there to pray to help them out. Amen. We got a lot of big kids leaving too. I didn't think that guy was 12. Amen. Let's jump right into it. Most of you know, 2 weeks ago when I was here, we began, and actually it was birthed in Bible study when they told me that no one was going to teach Bible study, and do we want to cancel or do I want to teach it? Normally I don't ever teach Bible studies. I don't even go to Bible study, me and Jamie, because if I do, most of y'all know, then being a pastor, I take over. And I don't want to do that. We have great teachers of the Word, and so and it's just hard to keep your mouth shut when you're the pastor and you don't want to inject and maybe correct and teach. But, you know, you don't have to do that much in our Bible study, so we just don't go. But I didn't want to stop it, and so I said, no, I'll teach. And the Lord began to birth some things about the end times. And I went to explaining, and we read biblically about the 1,000-year reign. Believe it or not, there's a lot of people that don't even know what the 1,000-year reign is. So real fast, let me tell you. After we leave, called the rapture, 7 years we're going to be gone in this world. Matter of fact, you're starting to see a few signs of it right now. Things that we've never seen in the history of this country is happening right now. Amazing what's going on. How what once was bad is now good. And what was good now is bad. What's right is now being professed as wrong. And what was wrong is being professed as right. And so I begin to talk about the 1,000-year reign, because during those 7 years of tribulation on this earth, after it, we're coming back for 1,000 years without sin. I mean, say amen to that. And most people don't even know, where is that in the Bible? It's all in the Bible. And we started studying that. So the Lord began to open up the doors, since I believe we're in the last of the last days, not to cause fear. If you've got fear about Jesus coming back, then you need to check out your salvation, because it's not going to be a scary thing. Now, I understand young people, well, I haven't gotten married, I haven't fulfilled some dreams and goals. And I understand that, because all of us think that way in some way. But don't be in fear because you haven't done a lot of things, because you're going to get to do them for 1,000 years without the devil being around. Okay? You're still going to live by faith. You're still going to have families. Amen. And things are going to be a little different. In those 1,000 years we studied that a lion can be with a lamb and not the lion not have the urge to eat the lamb. Okay, so things are going to change. But it's amazing that if you'll just pick up this Bible, and it's just not something that's on the coffee table getting and collecting dust, it'll minister to your life. Because listen to me, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, then you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the light, which is through Jesus, the light. And you've got to understand that, y'all. We can't just come to church just, you know, wanting to fulfill some time on a Sunday because that's how we were raised. No, you and I are in a kingdom called the kingdom of God, because Jesus, who is the Lord of this kingdom, is our Savior. And we've got to start acting like that, and we've got to start operating by the kingdom of God, because you and I, again, are born again believers. It's not a time to play church anymore. That's right. It's a time to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Because I'm here to tell you that devil is coming to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And if you participate in the world's ways, if you participate in what you see and hear and all the things like the five physical senses, you're going to be depressed. You're going to be tempted to commit suicide, man. Because that life is no bueno. But the life in God through Christ Jesus, woo, Jesus, it's exciting. So I'm not concerned about another president and this new administration and the things that I might see come to pass. I'm not concerned about what it's going to do to the economy. I mean, yeah, just in one signature, the first day in his office, lots of jobs were lost. As y'all heard at the start of this service, a pipeline and the border wall and this and that. Maybe it will be a little tough. Maybe we will see some things happening all around us. But here's what the Word says. Count it all joy. Say that with me. Count it all joy. Say it again. Count it all joy. In other words, don't you let anything stand in the way from you being in the promise. You being in the promised land. You being in the river of blessings. But, man, we got to talk about this stuff. And preachers, stay away from this end time stuff, this revelation stuff that they don't understand much. Until here lately, when the virus started and we had to, I mean, how many was here during our drive up services? Really, our church started tripling because there's still churches that are shut down today. Matter of fact, they're having several services. The first service, you have to wear a mask. Yo mama. I mean, I don't want to wear no mask. I think that's the worst thing. Matter of fact, what was it? I think it was Ricky or someone was talking about... No. It was a guy I was listening to this morning. It was Jesse Duplantis, actually. And I decided to turn him on. I woke up at 5 in the morning, and Jamie looks at me and says, "Why are you awake?" I looked back and said, "Why are you awake?" She said, "I don't know." So I flipped it on. Jesse's on there, and he said he went into this place and a restaurant, and the girl had a mask on, and she started talking, and you know how it is with masks. It got me in trouble yesterday, but I'm not going to tell you about that. Well, yes, I will tell you. So I was at this place, okay? And, you know, it's dealing, you know, hair and different things. And the lady had the mask on, and she said, I said, no. She said, I said, well, I guess so. So she brings me a glass of white wine. I took a picture of it. I said, "Baby, I know that's white wine, but I didn't understand her." You know, so there's something about needing to understand. So Jesse said, "Take off your mask and I'll give you the order. I want to see your facial expression." He said he talked to a doctor, and the doctor, he informed the doctor, kind of like me. He said, "I've never had the flu." He's 70 years old. Ever. He's never had the flu. She said, "You know why?" She said, "Aren't you a minister?" He said, "Yeah." He said, because you have laid hands on thousands and thousands of people, your immune system is very, very strong. And that's exactly why. Because we pass viruses back and forth, which causes the immune system to stay up. I think that's why the masks are not, it's not a good thing, y'all. Now I'm not saying some don't need it, because I'm okay with that. But not if it causes fear. We need to get away from, look at this crowd. In all the years, the largest rodeo we've ever had was in June. We didn't have a breakout. We've had multitude of people in services. What is my rule, by the way? If you're sick, stay home. Okay? Don't you think that's a good rule? If you're 65 and older and have issues, I'm okay with you staying home. If you're in fear, stay home. You don't need to be out. But here's the last one, remember? I trust people more than the government. Because people know how to take care of themselves. If you're sick, you stay home and get well in Jesus' name. Okay. So listen to me. With that said, we need to start not being in fear about anything in life. We need to stay in faith because you're a Christian. You're a believer in Jesus. And the opposite of fear is how we are supposed to live. Faith. Faith. Faith in a God that we cannot see. I can see His results. I can see the results of His creation, the trees and things like that. But I can't see God the Father. Why? Because He's in heaven. I cannot see Jesus, even though 33 and a half years people saw Jesus. I can't see Him. But I have to have faith that He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And you know what He's doing? He's praying for you and me. The Bible calls it interceding. Okay. So let's transition then into understanding if you're in the kingdom of God, you're going to see some things, you're going to hear some things, and they may not look good, but you have to remain in faith. So I want you to turn in your Bible, since we're now talking about the end times and what's going to happen during the end times. I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to finish a few things that I believe the Lord wants me to minister on. 2 Thessalonians. Thank you, Lord. I apologize, sir. I'm going to do it right now. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. When you get there, I want you to hold your place for just a second, because the Spirit of God wants me to minister to just a certain folks in this crowd right now. While Howdy was praying for me for this service in my office, the Lord began to minister some things, and I wrote them down. And so I want to minister to some people right now, and I don't want to miss this. In Jesus' name. There's people in here that the Spirit of God says we need to minister to right now. And I'm talking about some issues that are going on. And the first one is people in here, maybe you're watching and you're dealing with some of these things, but I want to deal. The healing power and anointing is here. Did you hear me? The anointing of healing is here. It's present because Jesus is here. So I want to deal with a couple things real fast. People that's been having issues with headaches. I need you to stand up right now, just right where you're at. You don't have to come down. You've been dealing with headaches, and I've felt where they're at. So just stand up if you've been dealing with headaches and things like that. And absolutely, if you want to stand in the gap, you confess their name, and I've been getting a lot of calls about headaches, and so the Lord wanted me to minister, and we need to receive the healing power of God in this area in Jesus' name. You see how many people there are? Every one of you that are standing, I want you to place your hand over your heart right now. Because listen, the reason I have you put your hand over your heart is you've got to get this faith prayer from here, your head, down into your heart. That's when manifestation comes in Jesus' name. So if you've been having headaches, whoever it is, I don't need to lay hands on you. You need to receive this prayer right now in Jesus' name. Ready? All the rest of you that are seated, you be in agreement. Stretch your hands towards someone. If the Spirit of God says go lay hands on them, then you go lay hands on them. It doesn't matter. But receive this prayer in Jesus' name. Father, Every person that has their hand over their heart is dealing with an issue like a headache. It might be as bad as a migraine, sir. It might be it seems like constantly they're having to deal with the issue of a headache. Father, in Jesus' name, the name that is above every name, I command every thing that is causing headaches, if their necks are not adjusted right, if their vertebrae and their backs are not in place, bring them into place now in Jesus' name. And Father, I rebuke headaches. I command that devil to flee in Jesus' name. The Word says whatsoever we loose on heaven is loosed on earth. We loose, because of heaven, the healing power of God, and headaches be gone and bodies be healed in Jesus' name. Now say amen to that. All right? All right, sit down. The Lord also showed me something this morning that people, and I'm gonna have to lay hands on you on this. You've been dealing with earache on your left side. It's your left ear. That's the one. If you got one on the right, come down too. But if you've been having issues with hearing, with something aches on your left side primarily, come here real fast. Come here. Come down here. Mm-hmm. Come on. Praise God, you're getting delivered, because that's two. Amen. That's what it does, though.
I just had an MRI Friday and it was a bad result.
Okay. Well, so what report are you going to believe?
Yours and God's.
No, not mine. Okay. Yeah, but yeah, I know what you meant.
Yeah.
You believe the report of the Lord, He's the great physician. Me and you are just the instruments. We're going to believe by faith, okay?
Yes.
So you either have a choice to believe the report of a doctor to be final, or you can believe the report of that Word of God. And the Word of God says you are healed by Jesus' stripes.
Amen.
Okay? Now, we believe in doctors because they'll help you. All of you guys know my dad's side of the family are all doctors, so I believe in doctors. But a human can't be the final report. If they told you you're dying in 6 months, my advice to you is believe the Bible and speak life over you. Because they're just giving you the fact. But the fact is not the truth. The truth is the Word of God. Okay? So, Father, heal. Heal in Jesus' name. And we receive the great physician's report. Lay hands on the sick in Mark chapter 16 and be healed in Jesus' name. So say, I receive that in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord. Father, praise God. I say no more hearing aids. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, be healed. Now say, I receive that in Jesus' name.
I receive.
Amen. Amen. That's fine. That's fine. Amen. You savvy English? Poquito? Okay. Sounds good to me. Jesus knows Spanish. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, be set free. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord. You're not going to have to be tormented by this any longer. You be set free. And we give you praise. Come on, y'all agree with me. Amen. You deserve it. Father, in Jesus' name, be set free. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Earache, be gone. In Jesus' name. Say, I receive it. In Jesus' name. I break the curse of generations of problems with ears. Be gone in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Heal. Oh, we give you praise, sir. In Jesus' name. You receive it? Father, we're not going to have problems with our ears any longer. Jason doesn't deserve it. He deserves the best. So be healed In Jesus' name. You hear me?
Yes.
Amen. Now say, I receive that. Real quick, I need to deal with two more things. I better be obedient. If you've been having sinus issues, stand up right now. If you have been having just issues in your neck, again, I think this had something to deal with the ear problems, because I felt it on the left side. Just stand up. But if you've been dealing with sinuses right now, I know the cedar is up. We need to deal with it right now. Amen. Put your hand over your heart. Father, in Jesus' name, I rebuke sinus problems. In Jesus' name, someone just stand up and touch someone that's standing right now. Just stand up. Hurry it up. If you're close to them, just stand up. Touch them right there. In Jesus' name, the neck be straightened up in Jesus' name. Line up. Father, in Jesus' name, every sinus problem that's in this room, be gone in Jesus' name. We give you praise, sir. Now, here's what I want you to do. If you were standing before because of a sinus issue, I want you to raise your hand and start saying, I receive that in Jesus' name. And just begin to praise Him. Come on. Begin to praise Him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're not going to live with sinus problems where I have to take pills any longer. And we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Okay, let's get after it. What time is it? Praise God. Look with me at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. By the way, if you're new here, the Bible says to be led by the Spirit of God. So if you don't mind, I'm going to be led by God's Spirit. Okay? I think too many times at churches we get into the order of churches. This is what we're supposed to do now, and you can't interrupt that order. No, I think it's better that we don't interrupt God's order. Amen? Okay. All right, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, we're talking about the end times here. The Bible says in verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. And we really started studying that little phrase, soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit nor by the word nor by the letters as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And you have to understand that. We're going to talk about a few things, but I'm going to finish something that I believe God wants us to talk about. And it's concerning, again, do not be shaken in mind. Do not be fearful about the coming of the Lord Jesus. You're going to find out a few things that happen in the coming of the Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, you can go and look it up yourself if you want to. Go to 1 Thessalonians when you get home, chapter 4. And it talks about the coming of the Lord Jesus, where the archangel Michael will descend. He'll have this, he won't have a trumpet, but he'll yell like the sound of a trumpet. Bop! And that's the cue for then the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise. And then you and I, the elect, the people that are serving Jesus, will meet Jesus in the air. And that's when we go home. Now on earth, there's going to be a 7-year tribulation time. And I know there's a lot of people that argue over if we're leaving on mid-tribulation. And I always say it like this. I'll just use some King James vernacular. I'm goingeth on the first batcheth. The first loadeth, you know, if you understand that. I'm not staying here for 3.5 years of a tribulation time, because it's going to be bad. Okay? All right. We'll study all that as we can. But I want to help you understand the reason that the Apostle Paul is saying these things inspired by God, and he says these things to not be soon shaken in mind, is because Paul wants us to remain in peace. We're going to have lots of opportunities to not be in peace in these last days. And again, don't you dare be troubled, because really what this means is when the Apostle Paul is saying these things, not to be troubled, it's literally meaning an inward fight, because the devil wants to trouble us with worry, with anxiety, with fear, I mean being jumpy and nervous, even about the return of the Lord Jesus. So don't be shaken in anything. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, no matter what goes on around you, you need to stay hooked with Psalms 91. That matter of fact, if I was the head of your house, and we do it in our house, we're constantly praying even before I rope. When I rope I did it yesterday. I saddled two horses and me and Brandon and Katie, we went out there and we was trying to break in 16 head of new steers, and one of them you needed to pray about. He had a little Red Bull. I'm talking, that little rascal came after us. He would not go in the strip and shoot, so I roped him. It's amazing when you put a rope around he's a little bull, a bull's neck, how it changes their attitude. I was thinking about doing that to my son. And just kidding, y'all. I mean, come on. I'll just beat him, you know. And that thing, I had to pull him in to the strip and shoot. And I mean, then the next time he went back out, boy, he just went right in there, see. But before I wrote, normally I always pray, and I pray Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll fear no evil. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. You know what that means? He's my source of everything. He's my protection. The Bible says angels are charged about me. So I pray that. I want angels charged about protecting me, my horse, the cattle, and so on. Amen? Okay. So there's something about not allowing anything to shake us, no matter what we see, no matter what we hear. Don't be shaken in anything. Do not be moved by anything. What we hear, what we see, not by any event that will happen in this world. Instead, this is what I wrote down. Instead of letting things get to us, rob our joy, rob our peace, rob our victory, we need to be deeply rooted in the confidence of God's promises. Colossians chapter 3, I want you to hold your place right here in Thessalonians, and I want you to quickly turn to your left to Colossians. And I want you to see what the Spirit of God is trying to teach us, just a couple of pages over really to your left. And turn over to Colossians chapter 3, and let's look at verse 15. Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and then be thankful. Can someone say amen to that? In other words, we need to keep peace in our heart constantly. Don't get into anger. Don't get into turmoil. Don't get into worry. Don't get into anxiety because you and I are in the end times. No. Stay in peace. Remember the Bible says, look up because your redemption draws nigh. So don't get your eyes focused on all the things that are going on in this world. Even the election that we just went through. Get your eyes off of that, y'all. I've had to tell people, don't send me that stuff any longer. Don't send me all the conspiracy things. If it comes to pass, I'm okay with that. But I think the enemy is trying to get our focus on standing in the gap for our country, for causing our country to stay founded on the Judeo-Christian principles that it was founded upon. And if you and I back up, like going back to the days of Babylon, if we continue to back up and just let things happen, we don't stand prayerfully primarily, and then stand on the principles of God, then they'll continue to be taken away from you and I. But I'm here to tell you, there may be a time that we got to stand and fight. Because I'm here to tell you, as the pastor of this church, we are not going to let the government tell us we cannot meet. Not even because of a virus. You and I, there's got to be someone standing up and saying, you know what? The government has no right to tell you and I that we cannot assemble and meet and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they had understand what we really represent, we represent their stability. Praise God. We represent the peace of God that passes understanding. I'm starting to get fired up. Look at verse 16 though right here. Let the word of Christ. Did you notice it didn't say some man's doctrine? It's talking about this Bible that will not fail you. I'm telling you. Let me go on. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. In other words, we need to understand that we need that supernatural peace to rule our hearts, because the Word of God is the only thing that's going to protect you and I. It's going to protect our minds. It's going to prohibit fear to worm itself into our minds that then goes into our soulish realm, our minds, our wills, and our emotions. And we're not going to let fear come in any way. Okay? All right. Now flip back to 2 Thessalonians and let's move on, because I believe the Spirit of God has, He's got us understanding to not be shaken in mind. Would you agree with that? In other words, we need to stay confident in the Word of God no matter what we see. Look at verse 3 here. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Let no one deceive, beguile you in any way, that day will not come, except the apostasy comes first. All that is a falling away from the saints. It actually, unless the predicted great falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come. Okay, look at me. Do not be what one of these people that it's talking about here. Someone that professed to be a Christian but falls away from the faith. The enemy right now is trying to get the born-again believing people to walk away from their faith, because they're seeing things. For example, and I'm having a talk with some of them right now. Matter of fact, in February... I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm the head of the Cowboy Ministers Network, and we're doing a big conference. Hundreds of ministers will be there. For some reason, the Lord has called me and Jamie to be the head of this group, and so I pastor a lot of these pastors. There was prophet after prophet after prophet. I was telling Howdy this, that declared out of their mouths for the whole world to hear it. And I'm talking prophets that are not fly by night. These people hear from God. That stated that Donald Trump would be the next president. He would be reelected. Well, I want to know what happened. I mean, why would the Lord have them say that? There's probably a good reason. I don't know. But I want to know it. But just because what some prophet said didn't come to pass, is that going to cause us to wane from our faith? Is it going to cause us to draw back? No. We're going to dig into it a lot deeper. So here the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us in the end times, you're going to see people that profess Christianity falling from the faith. And that is a sign of the end times. Do not be one of those people, y'all. You stand in faith no matter what. You are not moved by what you hear and see. You're not moved by these things. What are you moved by? You're moved by that word and faith in it. If the word says it, then you've got to believe it. You know why some churches are not seeing healing? And then they justified it and started saying things like, you know, God doesn't heal all. He doesn't feel, or they'll pray this prayer, Father, if it be thy will, Heal my sister. Heal my mother. Heal my father. Wait a minute. You don't know what God's will is then. Because His will is to heal all who would dare to believe. All things are possible to them, say it with me, that believes. If a church does not believe in healing, then you will not see healing manifest in that church. So then they'll have to justify it and say, well, God, it must have not been God's will to heal that person. No. You do not know the heart of a person. Only God does. It's kind of like my dad. We were upset as boys, and I'm sure mom was when dad left this earth at 65. That's a little bit early for a preacher. I mean, they're dying earlier than that. It wasn't right. But what if, and so then there could be some questioning. Sir, doesn't the Bible say this? Well, what we might not know is that Dad saw a glimpse of heaven. And I'm pretty sure it's a whole lot better than here. But I'm not going to judge, well, God must have not wanted to heal my dad. No, He healed him a lot. My dad just might wanted to go to heaven. Y'all know that story. I tell it quite a bit. I haven't told it in a while, so I get to tell it again right now. You know, the Bible says that your tongue can speak death and it can speak life. So an older lady went to her pastor and said, I don't know what's going on. I keep living and I'm ready to go home. And the preacher said, well, that's your problem. She said, do what? She said, did you not hear me? I want to go home. I want to go to heaven, but I just can't. I just keep living. He said, yes, that's your problem. And finally, he gets it across to her. Look, the Bible says that your tongue speaks life or death. If you want to go home, then stop confessing life. Stop confessing that, well, I just keep living. Now, this can go the opposite way, right? If someone's trying to kill you, you start speaking life. Well, she wanted to go home. She wanted to go to heaven. And he said, yep, that's your problem. Because you keep confessing, I just keep living. And there's power in the tongue. So she got that revelation. She said, okay, I'll tell you what then. I want to go home to heaven Thursday at noon. So you know what happened. She called her family in. She began to tell her children and spouses that, hey, I'm ready to go home, so on Thursday at noon, I'm going to go home. Well, you know what the kids thought, right? Alzheimer's. She's lost it. Cuckoo. But she got a hold of the power of her words. She fixed her meal. She sat down in the chair, and guess what happened at 12? You see, there's something about the power of God if you would just dare to believe it. Well, what comes in our minds, though? All the fears, the doubts, the unbeliefs, the sins of, you know, what we're up against, the addictions, all the junk that the enemy's just bringing and bombarding our minds with. And here, the Apostle Paul is saying, look, these things have to happen. There will be people that falls from the faith. The man of lawlessness and sin is going to be revealed, who is the son of doom and perdition. That's the Antichrist. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself so proudly and innocently against and over all that is called God or that is worshipped, even to his actuality taking his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Now, we know what happened in Waco, right? With that David Koresh guy saying he was Jesus. That didn't end well for him, right? And it's not going to end well for this guy. But guess what? You and I are not going to be here to experience some of it. But again, we need to know what's going to happen in these times. Let me start closing. Verse 5. Do you not recollect that when I was still with you, I told you all these things, the Apostle Paul is saying? Verse 6, and now you know what is restraining him, from being revealed at this time. It is so that he may be manifested, revealed in his own appointed time. Now we're talking about Jesus here. For the mystery of, and it's talking about the Antichrist as well, but for the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority is ready at work in the world, but it is restrained only until he who restrains is taken out of the way. So we're talking about an Antichrist, but we're talking about Jesus fixing to return. And when he returns, woo, Jesus, you and I, we gone. Just wave goodbye. Leave your Bible somewhere where the unbelievers that would not come to Jesus can find that Bible. Let them know where it's at. Tell them it's in the second drawer on the right side of your bed. Because I'm telling you, when we're all gone, they're going to come trying to find. They're going to be searching, okay? Okay, Holy Ghost, I need a place to quit. Verse 8, and then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him into the end by his appearing at his coming. Oh, man. All right, let's clap right there. Go ahead. All right. Now, we're going to keep going over this because, again, if we're in the end times, and I know they've been talking about this for 100 years, we're in the end times. But we're going to keep talking about it because, again, the worst thing we can do is back away. No, let's stay with the faith. That's why this church is growing. Look at it. It's because we need to know how to live as Christians in a world that looks crazy around us. And I'm telling you, it does. I mean, women are mad right now. Well, I don't mean, I'm not confessing that on women, but I mean, they're mad in a good, the Bible says to be angry, but sin not. So receive what I say. They're mad in the ways that we just got order, an executive order, not being able to say what's a man and what's a woman. Therefore, men that call themselves women are going into sports. And women are ticked off. And they're starting to wake up and say, no, no. There's a difference between a man and a woman, okay? Man, it's crazy. Why? Why? Well, because we're in the end times. So, count it all joy. Take a deep breath. We're going to talk about these kind of things and do not let it get to you. Amen? Amen? You stay in faith. You better stay around a bunch of believers preaching this Bible. If we get away from this Bible, we're in trouble. Amen. So we've got to stay hooked to the Word of God. Next week, I pray to God, I can finish this and go into something else. But if not, we'll just stay into it until the Spirit of God is convinced that all of us are not in fear. Do not get in fear. And I'll tell you this, led by the Holy Ghost. I've got 6 minutes. And I told my daughter this at college. I told my son this. And I'm going to tell you this. I've told myself this. Live right. Live right. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That word righteousness, do not get offended. Please don't get offended at me, because I don't mean to hurt anyone. If I do something wrong, I'll ask you to forgive me. But do not live in a spirit of offense, because that spirit of offense is trying to get on the body of Christ. And it's what will run you away from a church that you're called to. Live right. I'm not talking about condemnation. If you fall, if you do something wrong, thank God for forgiveness, mercy, grace. We live that way, but again, live right. That word righteousness means being and doing right. And listen, y'all, we know what's right. We know what a marriage is supposed to be. We know what's wrong. We know what's right. We know what's good. We know what's evil. We discern these things, and that Bible will help us. Amen? Amen. So let's live for God. But keep coming to church. Keep living for God at home. Let God richly bless you. Because listen to me. Can I say this, Lord? Oh, they want me to say it so bad. I'll just say it this way. I was ultimately blessed in an administration that I did not agree with, because I didn't participate in the ways that they operated. I stayed hooked in the kingdom of God. Amen? All right. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a great day. A great day that we can continue to learn even about the end times. And Father, it's all through the Word of God. I don't know why we steer away from it, but I think now you've opened the door that we can begin to talk about it in this church. Maybe some have in years past, but now we're going to dig into it a little bit deeper. So Father, I ask you to teach us. I ask you to give us hearts to receive it, ears to hear it with clarity and truth in Jesus' name. And Father, anyone that is sick, that is dealing with this virus, with the flu, with issues in their body, we call them whole in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that if there's one person that's not saved in the sound of my ears, either watching or in this congregation, you would draw their heart to you right now in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you're here this morning and you don't know where you would go if you left this earth, you don't know if you'd go to heaven, you don't know if you'd go to hell, let me tell you something. There's only one way according to John 14. There's only one way to heaven. It's through Jesus. He's the Son of God. Not a church, not a denomination, not some man's doctrine. The only way to go to heaven is through Jesus. And then while you live here on this earth, you can have heaven here. You can have God's peace. You can have God's joy. You can live in forgiveness and mercy and the things that we've talked about this morning, grace. But the question is He the Lord of your life, Jesus? If He's not, I want you to make Him the Lord right now by praying this prayer. This church knows that I have all the believers pray this prayer with people that might be here that have never given their lives to Jesus. We're going to pray it with you. So I asked you that question. You need to try to find the answer right now. What would happen to you if you died and left this earth? And again, I'm not speaking death on anyone, but I want you to think about it. If you left this earth this afternoon, you better know where you're going. Obviously, I want you to go to heaven. So we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to ask Jesus to come into our life. And we're going to pray this prayer out loud. You ready? But again, if there's anyone in here or that is watching that's never given their lives to Jesus, pray this prayer right now with us all. You ready? Ask Jesus to come in. Out of your mouth, say this, y'all. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. This day is my God day because Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Before you look up real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, with no one looking around, and I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to have you come down to the front, I'm going to ask you, though, to acknowledge that you just prayed that prayer and you meant it. If you gave your life to Jesus for the first time this morning, you didn't know what would happen to you if you died and left this earth. When I say three, one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, God, I meant that prayer and I gave my life to you. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. That's what you're saying. You're saying I need to know how to live for you. I need help. That's what it is by raising your hand saying, I just gave my life to Jesus. And when you do that, you raise it up, then just put it right back down in Jesus' name. You ready? And I want you to do it with boldness. We're not ashamed of giving Jesus our lives. He was not ashamed of dying on the cross for us. So if you just gave your life to Jesus, get that hand up at three. Ready? One, two, three, go. Praise God. All right, look at me, everybody. By the way, if there's anybody online that prayed that prayer, write us. You can message us privately. Let us know, okay? There was not one person's hand that was raised in this church. That's amazing. But that's okay. Our heart, though, needs to always be about salvation. Don't ever become a fat sheep. Y'all hear me? Trust me, I was raised around sheep and goats. You don't want to be a fat sheep. That means you just receive, 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 and you never let it out. You never tell anybody what you received. Because the fat sheep in Iran, Sheffield, Fort Stockton, where we were raised, a fat sheep gets stuck on a mesquite tree and they can't get loose of it. They don't have the energy to get loose of it. And if you don't catch them, they die. So you don't want to be a fat sheep. You want to be telling people and sowing back into their lives in Jesus' name. Did you have a good time this morning? All right. As y'all know, the only real major announcement is, Mike, just come stand right in the middle because they need to know who you are. In April, the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th is our Liberty Hill Pro Rodeo and Ron Ross Memorial Steer Open. It's PRCA. It's the largest event in this area. There's not a rodeo bigger than us that is an open rodeo. Austin's Pro Rodeo, it's a very large one, but it just got canceled yesterday or the day before. This makes no sense. Just a lot of fear, you see. But not here. Not here. We're going to have that rodeo, and we're going to continue to live life. A virus is not supposed to shut down our country and shut down our lives. So that's why we need to keep moving. We need to stay in faith. And so Mike is head over sponsorship. We have to raise at least $30,000 just in sponsorship. By the way, have we seen Heidi? Have we seen City? Good. That's a good part right there. Because the city gives us $20,000. So the rest of it, though, helps put on the event. And we need a lot of it. We buy buckles for all the event winners. And I mean, just so many things go on. We're putting new chutes up. I'm moving the chutes from this end to the other end. So it's going to be a lot better, coming from that side. And so I think that was like $7,000 or $8,000 that I had to order and pay for. So yes, sir, Gordon. Lily's in the back. Y'all that are watching, you didn't hear a word he said because he's not Mike. But we're having, if you're not here because of whatever reason, a lot of people travel, we're going to do a work day, and he just needs some volunteers, and we need to make sure our arena's in good shape. You just want 4 volunteers. Well, what if 20 show up? You're going to send away 16 of them? Okay. Please come, no matter what. And we've got to get all that going. And so, but if you're wanting to be a sponsor in some way, we have large sponsors and we have small ones. We have from event sponsors like $20,000 and $30,000, all the way down to $300 to put a banner up in the arena with your business. So if you know of businesses and you want to be a shoot sponsor or a buck and shoot, whatever it might be, if it's available, then see Mike. Amen. But it's a very professional rodeo. The carnival said that they are planning to be here. Last year they couldn't. And so we have a big carnival. We have the big rodeo. It's a very big event, and we'll be organizing it as we get a little bit closer. But again, April 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th. That's a Thursday through a Sunday. We have a big service here, of course, and then we finish out the big Ron Ross steer roping, and it's going to be a great time. I get to rope in it, And so it's a blast. Amen. But see Mike about sponsorship, please. All right. Anything else? Praise God. Well, stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed. Thank you again for coming. As we always pray, Jesus does not stay here. He gets to go with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for a good time. We're getting built up. We're getting confidence right in the middle of a very negative world. Someone's got to preach confidence, power. We have power because of Jesus. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for teaching us through all these ministers that minister, Ricky and Rusty and Howdy. And we just thank you, Lord, gosh, for just continuing to bless this church. Bring them in, sir. We have room. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause.